And you're listening to Unusual Sources here on 93.3 CFMU FM, broadcasting to Hamilton and the community here, as well as worldwide through the internet at our online broadcast at cfmu.mcmaster.ca. And we're returning to you this week with an array of exciting topics. And the first very important thing we're going to be discussing is the CPCCA, the Canadian Parliamentary Coalition for Combating Anti-Semitism. And we're very privileged to have with us today a special guest, and that is Diana Ralph. She is one of the founding members of Independent Jewish Voices. As well, she's currently on the steering committee, and she has been involved highly, I guess you could say highly engaged in this campaign about the CPCCA. So, Diana, thanks so much for being with us today.
You're very welcome, Brendan.
Oh, it is a pleasure to have you here with us. I've been receiving emails from you on the IJV list. I've seen interviews with you and press statements you've been giving out. I know the Independent Jewish Voices has become very involved in this campaign, but it's not necessarily something that every Canadian knows about, and I want to help spread information about this. It's such a big concern. So, I know that the CPCCA, again, that's the Canadian Parliamentary Coalition for Combating Anti-Semitism. So this was something roped together a year or so ago. And I guess what's interesting for me is how blatantly political this whole thing is, because it's my understanding from reading IJV, I know Harry Shannon wrote an interesting article recently, it seems that anti-Semitism is not at a historic high right now. But there is a lot of criticism directed at the Israeli government, and perhaps this is where this initiative is coming from, because there was something called the London Declaration not long ago. It was it's a declaration that came out based on complaints of what was called illegal anti-Semitic discourse in a hostile environment, which included calls for boycotts of Israeli people and products. This is the fear that this committee seems to be based on. So we have the CPCCA. There's an increasing conflation of criticism of Israel with real anti-Semitism. Is that what you believe is happening?
Yeah. Basically, the London conference, which was pulled together and organized by Erwin Kotler, our very own liberal human rights critic, was formed to combat the rising criticism of Israeli human rights violations in 2008. And that was the Inter-Parliamentary Coalition to Combat Anti-Semitism. And what they tried to do is to reverse who's the oppressor and who's the oppressed here. So what they're saying is that it's so unfair that the world is blaming Israel for crimes like the assault on Gaza, the siege of Gaza, the continuing occupation of the people of Palestine, torture, human rights violations, the wall which has been ruled illegal, and so on. They're saying that that's challenging the right of Israel to exist, which is not what any of those criticisms say, and that Israel is the so-called, quote, collective Jew, and therefore any criticisms of Israel are equal to or even worse than, they say, traditional anti-Semitism.
I've read some statements by think tanks coming out of Israel. It seems that this kind of talk is largely related to public relations, a sort of PR offensive.
Exactly. Basically, what's happening is that Israel, on one hand, has been rapidly expanding the settlements and increasing the stranglehold on the Palestinians, passing the new loyalty oath, requiring all people in Israel to affirm that Israel has the right to exist as a Jewish state. There are moves to legalize, I think they've just passed a law making it legal to throw Palestinians out of any community just because they're Palestinians. And, of course, there's rising criticism of what is probably worse than South African apartheid. To counter that, they're doing two things. One is they're trying to, they have a Brand Israel campaign where they're doing massive propaganda talking about how wonderful Israel is as a tourist destination, and it's sexy and it's high-tech. And on the other hand, they're trying to label anyone who criticizes Israel as anti-Semitic. The Canadian counterpart of the ICCA is the CPCCA, as you've mentioned, and that also was formed by Erwin Kotler and Jason Kenney, the Minister of Immigration and Multiculturalism.
Oh, Jason Kenney, yes. We've heard a lot about Jason Kenney.
Right. Jason Kenney is well known for having cut the funding to the Canadian Arab Federation, cutting the funding to UNRWA, the UN Refugee and Administration that supports destitute Palestinians, for stacking the Board of Rights and Democracy, and so that they eliminated most of their Palestinian aid work, for supporting the boycott of not the boycott of Israeli products, but the boycott of any trade or relationship with the people of Gaza, and so on. Jason Kenney is he and Erwin Kotler co-invited, again, the Inter-Parliamentary Coalition, to come to Canada and hold their second meeting here last weekend.
Wow. So I can see Jason Kenney's highly involved in this. And by the way, I mean, when we come to Kenney, he's someone, even the National Post has reported that he called the Canadian Islamic Congress and the Canadian Arab Federation hateful groups that don't deserve respect. So you've got someone calling Arab and Muslim organizations hate groups.
And he also cut the funding to Kairos, which is a coalition of 11 church organizations, based on the false claim that they were supporting the BDS campaign. He's a real bulldog of a guy.
Okay. Well, as you mentioned, he's been involved in roping up the more recent committees and whatnot. I understand this is a multi-stage process with the CPCCA. Now, I don't have all the details, but I think the way it was last year there was a conference kind of to set this up. And then this year there's hearings, I guess. Or maybe it was the other way around.
What happened?
Yeah.
So there was a London conference that brought together... And again, the London conference was a conference of members of parliament from mostly European countries and Canada, who were not sent by any official for any official reason. They just were random members of parliament who are supporters of Israel, and they got together in London and passed the London Declaration, which you can look up online. And they announced that they were then going to all go out and form counterpart national organizations that would investigate anti-Semitism in their respective countries. Canada formed the Canadian members, mostly Erwin Kotler and his associates, formed the Canadian Parliamentary Coalition to Combat Anti-Semitism, and they announced that they were holding these big hearings and that they were not going to accept any public money, but they had space on Parliament. So they organized very biased hearings. For example, they refused to hear any submissions from any of the Jewish and non-Jewish Canadian groups who had submitted criticisms of the false assumptions of the CPCCA. 45% of those they did hear were pro-Israel advocacy groups. And what I found most interesting in going over the testimony was that they brought in a whole bunch of university administrators and police officials hoping to get them to say that there was a serious problem for Jews on campuses and that anti-Semitism is rising. But what in fact happened when you go through the testimony is that none of the police spokespeople except one of the university spokespeople reported any rise in anti-Semitism. And in fact, that goes along with the findings of the human rights commissions across Canada that real anti-Semitism is actually dropping and is not a serious problem in Canada.
I'm just thinking of what you're saying reminds me of what I read in Harry Shannon's article again, which you can find on the Independent Jewish Voices website. You go to Independent Jewish Voices Canada, look up one of the more recent articles. I think it's the first one up there. Mm-hmm. He was referencing Harry Shannon was looking at what authorities and investigators have been saying about anti-Semitism in North America. And basically, in terms of campuses, one of the quotes was that it's apparently a golden age for Judaism on campus. It's a good time to be a Jewish student. There's Jewish student cultural organizations. It's not that there's a sort of rising tide of anti-Semitism. So I mentioned that the conflation of criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism. And to deal with this, I understand this committee, some of the advocates of this, they're talking basically about a new anti-Semitism. That means something different. Can you explain what that is?
Right. The new anti-Semitism is a term that got coined right after the brutal put the occupation. I think it started in 1976. They started talking about the new anti-Semitism, which was essentially saying that anyone who's critical of Israel is anti-Semitic, and that's the new anti-Semitism.
I see. Most people would probably disagree with that vision.
Yes, exactly. In fact, those of us who are Jews are saying that to do that is actually to promote real anti-Semitism, because if you tell people worldwide that Israel speaks for all Jews, and what Israel does, which in violating the fundamental rights of people and being cruel and being genocidal and vicious, if that's what it means to be Jewish, it's no wonder people are anti-Semitic.
So, well, not a lot of people are buying the idea that these two things are the same, and that's why you had, I think, for example, the Bloc Québécois, they pulled out of the CPCCA, so they didn't see it as an even-handed body.
That's right, and even within the Liberals and the NDP, there was a lot of controversy internally in their caucuses, and they were both of the opposition parties were, I think, relatively uncomfortable with being associated with this CPCCA and this claim. In fact, if you read the testimony, Carolyn Bennett, a Liberal MP, and one of the NDP MPs are attacking Jason Kenney for putting out a flyer claiming that the Liberals and the NDP are anti-Semitic because they're not sufficiently supportive of Israel.
Right. No, I remember the conservatives have been going nuts over this issue in general, over support for Israel. There was that. I mean, that was a big deal. That got in the newspapers when the liberals and conservatives were competing to see who could support Israel more. And, you know, they were dropping flyers and all sorts of writings saying, no, the liberals, they don't support Israel enough. The conservatives don't support Israel enough. It's, you know, it's kind of shameful because, again, we have this committee and it's one-sided, as we know. One of the reasons that the Bloc pulled out and other people have criticized it is because, I guess, as you say, they weren't really looking at opposition voices or viewpoints when they're inviting people to speak at the conference and the hearings. So they brought in pro-Israel advocates, people that supported the position mm-hmm. of the current Israeli government. The Canadian Arab Federation, I believe they were not allowed to come
in. They were not allowed. Independent Jewish Voices was not allowed, was not heard. There were at least 20 or 30 different submissions from individuals and groups, many of them Jewish, who were not granted hearings at the inquiry, and on the other hand, what they did invite were a lot of the pro-Israel advocacy groups were not from Canada even, and three of them were from Israel, some from the U.S. The dangerous thing about the CPCCA and its ilk is that what they're trying to do is to make it illegal to criticize Israel, to make it a hate crime. And already in France, demonstrators who have been advocating boycott, divestment, and sanction campaigns, a peaceful protest, have been arrested as anti-Semitic hate criminals. So one of the goals of the CPCCA is to change Canada's human rights legislation to make it illegal to be critical of Israel. They probably won't get away with that, and they may not try it directly. The other thing that they're trying to do is to pressure university administrators to ban Israeli Apartheid Week and to shut down a granting of meeting spaces on campus for people who are critical of Israel. There are already threats to faculty members and to students who express legitimate criticism of Israel. They're also trying to make it illegal to use the term Israeli apartheid or to advocate boycott, divestment, and sanctions. And more seriously, even, is that they are using this to attack unions like the Canadian Union of Postal Workers and CUPE, which have taken stands, to attack the United Church of Canada and Kairos. And essentially, this becomes the thin edge of a wedge of limiting free speech in general. We could see the huge impacts of this at the G20 demonstrations, where the Harper government basically gave the police carte blanche to to attack peaceably demonstrating protesters, you know, and imprison them and deny them their rights.
Well, yes, that's an issue that we've started to approach on our program. I know we interviewed one of the detained G20 protesters this summer. Essentially, there was a few people that were dressed in black, and we saw their activities publicized, and hundreds of people were rounded up. Many hundreds of people were arrested. Now people have been arrested. Their free speech rights are basically under question because some of the people that they've said are organizers that are under trial right now, they're not allowed to speak in certain venues on these issues and so forth. So as they're being investigated, they're not allowed to talk on certain issues. So we saw the way that the G20 was handled and established in the first place gives us an indication of what Harper thinks of his opposition.
What happens is that I think one of the reasons that they're focusing on so-called anti-Semitism or the new anti-Semitism is that it gives them a superficial appearance of standing up for an oppressed group of people. So they're, you know, nobody would be in favor of anti-Semitism, real anti-Semitism, that is.
Well, certainly Harper needs a shot in the arm in that regard, because
right.
He's not really seen as standing up for oppressed peoples.
No, in fact, what he's doing is, you know, justifying attacks on Aboriginal people and gays and lesbians and poor people and union members and people of color and immigrants. And, you know, he and Jason Kenney are the poster boys of the neoconservative attack on all vulnerable peoples. And so what they do is hide behind solidarity with Jews, at, you know, claiming that by doing that they're somehow supporting all the other groups.
Well, we see that Harper has a strategic relationship, or at least Harper believes Canada has a strategic relationship with Israel, that the United States has a strategic relationship with Israel, and that's the kind of policy that he's promoting. Now, you know, on the international stage, when the chips are down, we saw what happened with the UN Security Council and our bid to get in that. Obviously, other countries aren't so favorable to our one-sided stance on supporting Israel and the number of other things Canadian corporations are doing abroad and what the government is doing in Afghanistan and so forth. So we are getting punished. We are getting penalized internationally for this stance.
When I was so shocked by Harper's speech, where he was saying that he would stand up for Israel no matter what price he has to pay, and that he's bruised. And I'm thinking, because Israel is the only country in the world that's under attack.
Well, can you imagine him saying that about
Israel's not under attack? Israel's getting, you know, just got a commitment of $30 billion from the U.S. over the next 10 years. Israel is not being held accountable for any of its crimes. It's being criticized. It's not being attacked.
Well, here's something that's very dangerous and very sad, and that is, on the one hand, you have Israel is very strong right now. You have a renaissance of Jewish university culture, pretty much a historical low point in anti-Semitism. These are on the one side. And then you have all this talk about anti-Semitism, rise in anti-Semitism. We have to stop criticism of Israel. And this concerns me because we're in an economic depression right now.
Mm-hmm.
Things could get worse. And at times when there's been economic crises, there has been a rise and real anti-Semitism, the kind of traditional classic anti-Semitism that we all know and fear. Now, it seems to me that the CPCCA is like crying wolf. They're making a big deal about something that's not substantive. Could that could have a negative impact if it comes to combating real anti-Semitism in the future?
Well, yeah. I think it's that's what I was trying to say earlier. I think what's even more serious is that it's obvious that the groups... Let me just back up for a minute and make a distinction between structural discrimination and prejudice. Structural discrimination is when a nation passes laws and allows discriminatory practices, for example, not allowing people to buy houses or rent homes, to deny people employment, to attack them publicly in the media, and so on. That is a real structural discrimination. Prejudice is people carry attitudes about other people that can be offensive, that can be disgusting and offensive. Virtually all of the incidents of anti-Semitism that are reported in Canada are in the latter category. There is no structural discrimination against Jews. In fact, Jews are one of the most successful ethnic groups in Canada, with higher incomes, with higher education. Nobody is barring Jews from anything. There are, and most of the incidents of real anti-Semitism that are taking place are teenage kids putting swastikas on gravestones or on synagogue doors, which is offensive and scary for Jews, but it isn't anything like the kind of systemic discrimination that especially Muslims and Arabs are experiencing now, being barred from airplanes, being systematically rounded up and arrested and never charged, being having CSIS agents come into their mosques and intimidate people, denying people jobs, there's all kinds of laws and practices and offensive, official Islamophobic anti-Arab statements that Harper himself and Kenny them himself have issued. So I just want to make a distinction between what we're talking about here.
Yes, it seems to me that the ultimate failure of the CPCCA is that it focuses only on one ethnicity. It singles out Jews, the Jewish ethnicity. On the other hand, we know that there's multiple forms of racism existing in Canada right now. We have a situation with Islamophobia, as we mentioned. There was also an article that came in Maclean's that caused a bit of a stir in terms of Asian students and their accusations of racism flying back and forth. So, fine, let's talk about racism. Let's set up committees to deal with, identify racism in Canada, to ameliorate or alleviate, reduce racism in Canada, a look at the causes of it, how to remove structural discrimination in the government, private institutions. Fine, let's have racism committees. I don't think we should have singling out on one ethnicity that the Harper government claims to be supporting at this time. I think let's expand it all. I guess that's one of the viewpoints or ideas I've been getting from IJV on that matter. So I certainly
right.
appreciate
it. I would really encourage people in your listening audience to get on the IJV website and look at the video that we put together, which is called Defend Free Speech. The threat is from the new McCarthyism, not the new anti-Semitism.
I could probably play that on the radio.
That would be great because the text is fabulous. And it's I was very pleased. I just checked it out. There have been almost 5,000 hits on that on our little low-cost video. And I went on the CPCCA's website and or the ICCA's website, and there are all these speeches by Harper and John Mann, who's one of the co-chairs of the ICCA, and they've had like 28 hits for their videos.
Wow. Well, I remember when I first saw the video you mentioned, and there was only about 250 hits on it several days ago.
Yeah, we're up to 5,000.
Yeah, so no, it is spreading fast. It's a well-put-together video. I think IJV and Sid Sichniad was involved and others, so it's a good video. I think I can play the audio segment of that, so maybe I should do that while we have time. I guess, yeah, so we've covered a lot. I think we've explained and understood now what the CPCCA is, where it came from, the Harper government's relationship to this, its danger to free speech, the threat to Canadian political discourse. So I want to thank you, Diana.
You're very welcome. Can I just say one thing?
Certainly.
It's just to encourage listeners to defend free speech, insist that university administrators allow legitimate criticism of Israel to go on and free discourse. Nobody's trying to shut down discussion except the pro-Israel lobby because they can't defend themselves.
That's right. When it comes to a discussion of human rights, Palestinian human rights, and so forth, the think tanks in Israel have identified that it's a losing argument. It's not a winning argument for Israel. So just shift away, talk about another issue. Say that Israel is being delegitimized, try to get events shut down, but don't talk about the issues. That's not wanted by one side in that debate. So thanks again. Well, this is Diana Ralph, and Diana is a member of the Steering Committee of Independent Jewish Voices. She's a founding member, and she's also served in a chair role, executive role. So, Diana, again, thank you very much for giving us your time on this issue. This is something that was in the news over the last week or two, and we want to keep the story alive. We want people to continue getting the information and facts about it so we can think about it and monitor what the government's doing. We're going to be awaiting news on what kind of report or hearing we get out of this process. We want to see what Canadians are told about it, and we're going to certainly be waiting for IJV's analysis.
Thank you very much, Brendan. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Diana.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.